And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And good Friday, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today on The Awakening. Well, you know, I've been warned for years that in the news business, you have to watch out for what the government might do on Friday afternoon. And I got some news for you. Because later on this afternoon, President Joe Biden, we are told, is going to issue an executive order. What number is this? Must be about 50 or so. But anyway, he's going to issue an executive order sometime today to form a commission to study reforms to the United States Supreme Court. Now, we kind of knew this was going to happen, but now he's announcing it. I always find it interesting. They pick Friday afternoon to do this, and that minimizes the reaction time people have to these kinds of announcements. Now, one of the things that could be considered in this commission, which has basically 6 months to do its job and report, is something called court packing. Now, I'm sure Bishop Jackson has talked to you folks about this, but court packing would be that they would add additional seats to the United States Supreme Court. Now, what would that do? Well, if Biden and his people are still in power, it would give them the opportunity to perhaps add another three Supreme Court justices and they would be far left, believe me. So that's court packing. Now, the story that I have in front of me says they might not do that this time around. But one of the things they may look at is the lifetime appointments. In other words, there would be term limits to a United States Supreme Court. Now, Justice, I find this very interesting. Now, let's face it. The Bidens and the Democrats are really upset that President Trump had the opportunity to put three Supreme Court justices on the high court. And so they're going to try to find a way to limit that power because they think there is an injustice right now because there are so many Supreme Court justices allegedly on the conservative side of things. Boy, is that debatable when it comes to Chief Justice John Roberts. Because you don't know which way he's going to go. Most of the time, he seems to favor the left. All right, so be watching for that this afternoon. That announcement coming out of the White House, this commission on reforms to the United States Supreme Court. That one needs watching. Also, the president today, President Biden, is going to announce his proposals for the next federal budget. Now, we all already have some details on this, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this right now, but a couple of things of note. Because what he's proposing is really a reflection of his priority. Homeland security. Everybody knows the crisis going on our southern border right now. Homeland security gets no increase. Now, folks, that is a reflection of where this president feels about the security of this country. The Pentagon, 1.6% increase in its budget, but nothing for Homeland Security. Who is going to get a big increase? The Education Department. Joe Biden has got to keep those unions, those teachers' unions, happy. Listen to this. So yeah, Pentagon gets 1.6% increase, nothing for Homeland Security. Department of Education, a 40.8% increase in its budget. 40.8% increase. Watch out for that. What else? Oh, yes. Housing and Urban Development, a 15% increase to $68.7 billion, primarily, according to this story, to provide housing vouchers for an additional 200,000 families. Now, what's a housing voucher? That's basically the taxpayer, me and you, paying for other people's houses. Let's be clear about that. So watch out. Friday afternoons, announcements coming out of governments. There you have it. It's two on the way. All right. Are you like me? Are you getting kind of tired of the misinformation coming out about the new Georgia voting law? Wow. Talk about frustrating. You know what the Major League Baseball has done? They've moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta to Denver, Colorado, all because Major League Baseball is all upset. Corporate America, Delta Airlines, other big corporations, Coca-Cola, they're all upset. The allegations being made that somehow this is out to suppress the vote in Georgia. Nothing could be further from the truth. Really interesting. Former White House advisor in the Bush administration, Karl Rove, kind of went down the list this week of other states and their voting rules. But Major League Baseball doesn't have a problem with their voting rules, some of which are far stricter than what Georgia is putting in place. Cut number three.
New York requires an excuse to vote by mail absentee. Georgia doesn't. Georgia has a minimum of 17 days and up to 19 days of early voting. New York has 8 days. Connecticut, New Jersey have no early voting at all. What happened to all those Mets fans and Yankees fans who are living in repressive vote suppression states like New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey? Missouri has two teams. Doesn't have early voting, no excuse early voting or early voting. Michigan, no early voting. Then what about those Tigers fans? Ohio and Pennsylvania, four teams alone in those states, no early voting. Minnesota, Wisconsin, no early voting. The Twins and the Brewers fans. Massachusetts, they had last year early voting. It goes away on June 30th. What about next year? What about those people living in the voter suppression state of Massachusetts? New Hampshire, right next door, all those Red Sox fans, they don't have early voting or absentee by mail.
That's Karl Rove. Kind of a pretty good outline there. What is he saying? The absolute hypocrisy of Major League Baseball, and we'll add corporate America, in expressing grave concerns about what's going on in Georgia. You heard it there. Other states, many of them Democrat-run states, much stricter rules. Here's the other thing that really bothers me. The misinformation about Georgia now going to require ID if you're requesting an absentee ballot. That's all over the place. It was really interesting. There was a survey done of white college students, liberal white college students. Here's what they had to say about how unfair it is to ask people in Georgia for an ID, for an absentee ballot. That's cut number six.
Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist.
I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know any black person who doesn't carry ID?
No.
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. Like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with.
I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know it's that. It's on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is right here?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
I love that. Hear those voices at the end. Hear those liberal whites. Well, the black people, they don't have a DMV near them. I don't think they know how to work a computer so they can go online and get an ID. How insulting! How absolutely insulting! Hey, much more ahead on The Awakening here on a Friday. We'll be right back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Mike Huckabee warns us about the influence of big tech in a recent commentary. He understands that everyone knows that big tech has been in the business of collecting data on each of us to sell to advertisers. But then he asks, did you know they're also selling information about us to federal agencies? He explains that these companies have been collecting data from different services and then use artificial intelligence to understand our personality traits. And apparently, the government is using this information to determine how to deal with you within the criminal justice system. Facebook, for example, scoops up information on the 2.4 billion people each month who use the service by tracking their browsing history. When you go online, it can look at the news you read, books you order, and websites you visit. If that is not enough, they are also using a tool called off-Facebook activity to see your external browsing activity. Google is gathering data to build profiles of people using their interest, location, and demographics. It's also selling this data to third parties. In fact, Google actually purchased two of the biggest third-party ad companies. Through a database called Sensor Vault, Google also sends information directly to law enforcement. And this includes your geographical location, which is collected by cell phone towers and GPS signals. Amazon offers its services to advertisers, which include not only browsing history, but actual purchases and deliveries. And this also includes such information as your delivery address and your credit cards that are used. You know, for many years, critics have said that big tech is beginning to look a bit like Big Brother. That certainly seems to be the case. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Spring Share-a-thon 2021 is coming April 13th through the 15th.
We're so grateful to God for this gift that you have given to the Christian community.
This Share-a-thon, our theme is Romans 15, 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
We had a house fire on May 4th, and we live in a camper all summer long. And there's two things that never change. One is God's sovereign grace and the words that He gave us in the Bible, and two is the inspiration coming from AFR.
Because of our trust in God, we can face the world with confident hope.
I believe that AFR was a direct answer to my prayers for God's help.
Stand with us and help remind the nation that God is our confident hope during our three-day Spring Share-a-thon, April 13th through 15th. And thanks for supporting American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. How many falsehoods were in Joe Biden's attack on the Second Amendment? NBC is mystified by one thing about the COVID pandemic. I'll tell you what it is. Governor Abbott of Texas launches an investigation into credible reports of sexual abuse of children in Biden's border internment camps, and current COVID vaccines may permanently alter DNA. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And welcome back to the Friday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today. You know, just before the break, we were talking about how black voters in Georgia are being targeted with insults. And what we're talking about, we played a little bit just before the break of some liberal white students saying, well, black folks don't know how to go on a computer and get an ID, get a driver's license, whatever the case may be, or they don't know where the nearest DMV is, Department of Motor Vehicles. How insulting. How insulting to black folks in Georgia, these alleged concerns over Georgia's voting law. Well, Candace Owens is an African-American conservative voice out there, and she addressed this idea that they're painting black people as not being able to do those things that white people can do. In other words, get an ID. Go to a Department of Motor Vehicle and get a license or get your license renewed, whatever the case may be. She addressed this earlier this week. Have a listen. Cut five.
Candace, do you have a government-issued ID? And if you do, how did you get it?
I'm so excited to announce to the world that I was actually able to secure government-issued ID because I am smarter than a fifth grader. And this is such the bigotry of low expectations. The idea that Black Americans are wandering around like Neanderthals going, how do we do it? How did everybody do this? This would mean, Tucker, we've never been into a hotel room. We can't get hotel rooms. We can't rent a car. We can't buy a car. We can't buy liquor, cigarettes, all the things that require just a simple form of identification. That means Black Americans don't even have a bank account, Tucker. Can you imagine? We're running around going, how do we do it? How do we do it? Because we can't Google DMV near me and get there and provide basic, you know, pieces of education. It's so insulting. And it's funny because they don't think that people understand what they're doing. Democrat strategy is so simple. What do we want to accomplish? Anything that stands in our way, call it racist. And why do they call it racist? Because the truth here, Tucker, is they perceive Black Americans as stupid and emotional. They view us to be low information. They want us to be their pawns.
Yeah, and Black Americans aren't stupid and they aren't emotional once they get the truth of what's going on. You know, I was reading an article, AP put it out this morning. They did an interview with Stacey Abrams there in Georgia, playing the race card again. I just hope folks, whatever your skin color is, white, black, brown, whatever the case is, read the Georgia voting law for yourself. There is all kinds of voting opportunities leading up to Election Day. There are going to be drop boxes in strategic locations. There's going to be voting on weekends. It is still much more liberal than most jurisdictions in this country. So read it for yourself. That's all I would say to the potential voters there in the state of Georgia. And don't listen to corporate America that is calling for boycotts and the Major League Baseball. It is just ridiculous. By the way, you probably have heard by now, Stacey Abrams and the gang, by complaining about this, led to Major League Baseball's decision to move the All-Star Game from Atlanta to Denver, Colorado, costing many Black-owned businesses in Atlanta over $100 million in business. Imagine that. Thanks very much, Stacey Abrams. All right. What would you say if I told you that billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, your money, is going to pay for a propaganda machine that basically is teaching your kids to hate America and to reject its Christian values? You would say, that's not possible. This is America. It's not happening. Yeah, it is. It sure is happening. It's happening in our universities. I've been talking about this on the air for so many years, that our universities are nothing but propaganda machines for the left. Well, now, in Florida, the GOP has passed a bill, and they're going to start assessing political bias on campus. Here to talk about that a little bit is our reporter from American Family News, Chris Woodward. Chris,
hey,
welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you. Yeah, this is kind of interesting that a state government would actually act on the idea that, you know, our kids are being indoctrinated into left-wing politics.
Yeah. You can read more about this by going to our website, onenewsnow.com. It's one of the top stories at the top of the page there. But for those that haven't read about this or heard about it yet, public universities in Florida would have to survey, protect, and promote political views on their campuses. That's according to a House-passed measure that also got approval from the Senate and is now awaiting the signature of Governor Ron DeSantis. To my knowledge, he has not yet signed this. I would presume he will. I think he's actually called for things like this in the past, but he has not signed it yet. I spoke with Kara Zupkish yesterday from Young America's Foundation, and they call this bill a step in the right direction. The Young America's Foundation is a center-right or conservative group. Oftentimes when you see stories or you hear stories about Ben Shapiro not being invited to speak on a campus, generally those are Young America's Foundation events. Someone there at a YAF chapter on that campus invited Ben Shapiro to speak, and people applauded or jeered that effort. But Young America's Foundation is in favor of this. Again, they call it a step in the right direction. They did have one concern, Fred. There is language in the bill that would require a student wanting to do an audio or video recording of a classroom lecture. They would have to have the professor give consent for that. And that is a concern to Young America's Foundation, because for a good while now, they've had something called a campus bias tip line. And it's through that campus bias tip line that we often hear and see news stories about our professors saying and doing all kinds of crazy things in the classroom. I've been out of college longer than I want to admit, and I heard crazy things when I was in college. So this has been going on for a long time now. Young America's Foundation is asking Governor DeSantis to do a line item veto, getting rid of that specific language requiring students to get the professor's consent, so that way we can continue to uncover these issues going on in the classroom. And to give you an example of one issue that Young America's Foundation is hearing a lot about through its campus bias tip line is critical race theory. This is that thing that's been out there that basically says all of the world's problems are because white people and racism. That's basically the summary of critical race theory. And apparently, according to Kara Zupkus, a lot of students are hearing about critical race theory and how we're all causing problems. I've got some sound here. This is clip 8.
We've especially seen an uptick in instances of critical race theory being pushed, not only in colleges and high schools, but even as young as elementary school. So we've definitely seen an uptick. It's definitely concerning.
Now, I mean, you heard her there. It's not just on college campuses, but in high schools and in some cases as young as elementary schools. That, again, Fred, brings us back to something we've talked about a long time now on this program and others. You've got to pay attention to what's going on in the classroom with your child. Don't go, you know, don't sit down for the family meal at the end of the day and talk about what it is that you've been watching on whatever streaming service you have, okay? Ask your daughter or son what it is they've been hearing in the classroom, what it is they're reading, because oftentimes this is how liberals and people in favor of all kinds of crazy curriculums are getting the next generation. They're teaching them things in the classroom that they're taking as gospel, sharing it with others, and eventually we get more of this nonsense, which provides me things to cover. But believe me, there's a lot of things to cover, and this is one of those topics I wish I didn't have to cover as much, but I'm happy to.
Well, I can certainly understand the criticism of that one portion of the law where you got to get the professor's permission to basically record the kind of propaganda that he's teaching in front of these students. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just that professor, and we've seen such incredible evidence that a lot of these professors are political activists.
Right.
There is no question about it. There's no question about it that on campuses across this country, there is a very strong liberal bent. And to the point where if you have a conservative point of view, you're many times intimidated as to not even allow that to be expressed because they'll find some way to call you a racist.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and speaking of racism, just to give you an idea of some of the things that YAF has uncovered through its campus bias tip line, this is on their website for anybody to read. Western Carolina University made it a mandatory resident advisor training telling them reverse racism is a myth. You had a University of Georgia science professor banning students from using Fox News as a source, as if other network news
well,
out there.
Well, CNN has so much credibility.
This is CNN. Yeah, and then you've got another professor at another institution attacking conservatives in an internal email saying, "I am sickened. I examine your conscience." And then, of course, you had that issue. YAF uncovered this back in February. You had a so-called Black Lives Matter week of action in a public school in Ames, Iowa, for kids as young as kindergarten, with all kinds of coloring books and things like that of men in dresses. I mean, this is how they reach kids. Yeah. You do it through the curriculum, which, again, is why you need to talk about what it is kids are hearing in the classroom.
And we're working on a story right now. You'll probably hear in American Family News on Monday, the Mercer University theology professor who wrote a devotion for a book that's being sold out there. And the start of her devotion is basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, "God help me to hate white people." That She's a professor of theology at Mercer University.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable what's happening.
Right. You know, as a person of faith, if someone gets up certainly behind the podium at a church and says something like that, I would advise you to leave as quickly as possible. Similar situations in a classroom. You don't have to listen to that.
No. So your story's on One News Now right now?
It is, yes.
OneNewsNow.com. Go there, folks. You'll get the real news of what's going on out there. You're certainly not going to get it from the CNNs. You're certainly not going to get it from your professor at the university. Much more ahead here on The Awakening on this Friday edition. Right back after.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In an automobile accident not long ago, a drunk ran into another automobile. The young father and mother and their infant child were killed. The couple were devoted Christians. The drunk walked away without a scratch. Why? Why does the man who was drunk walk away while the parents and child are buried? Why is it that the innocent suffer and the guilty go free? Why? You don't live long in this world until you face this fact, that the evil often prosper and the good often suffer. Experience from life has taught us that truth. But the big question is why? Why does this happen? I have three words I'd like to share. The first word is clarity. Clarity. Let's get clear what the Christian faith offers and what it doesn't offer. Evidently, there's much confusion at this point. It doesn't offer prosperity, material wealth, or riches. Neither does it offer exemption from suffering or pain. The cross is the eternal symbol that Christianity was born amid pain and suffering, even injustice. Becoming a Christian is no guarantee against pain, suffering, or even injustice. Too many people are looking for God to be their Superman, to don suit and cape and come dashing to their rescue when we beckon Him. And for some, if God won't be their Superman, they often turn their backs on Him. Let's be absolutely clear about this. The Christian faith does not promise us exemption from pain and suffering, nor does it promise us material wealth. Anyone coming into the fold believing that simply will not last long. Now, the second word is faithfulness. God doesn't necessarily expect us to worldly success or prosperity. God does expect us to be faithful. The evil often prosper because that's their primary desire, to prosper. The liquor store owner and the dope pusher makes a lot of money. That's their primary desire. They're not concerned about the welfare of their fellow man. Then, too, the good often suffer because it's their desire to be faithful. Surely the life of Paul has taught us this much. It's not the great desire in the heart of God that we miss pain and suffering. The great desire is that we overcome it, grow from it, and remain faithful through it. The third word is patience. God is patient, willing to take His time to work out His purpose. We would hurry things up, finish the job this afternoon. God can wait until tomorrow, or the next day, or the next. We would destroy the evil people. God would change them. And sometimes change takes a little longer than destruction. And be careful who you place in the evil category. At times it's hard for any of us to be exempt. Much of all of this we do not understand because we do not have the mental capacity to do so. Two boys watched the parade go by. One watched through a knot hole in the fence. The other watched from a tree above the fence. The one who watched from the knot hole said it didn't make much sense. The one who watched from the tree said it was the grandest sight he'd ever seen. We see life through a knot hole. God sees it from above the fence. The evil prosper, the good suffer. Why? I cannot fully answer the why, but I know from Calvary that the good will ultimately triumph.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson today. And you've heard our Share-a-thon next week. You know, I was just listening to Brother Don there, our founder, his wisdom. And his wisdom has played out over the years, his predictions of if America turns against biblical values, what would happen in this country. And we're seeing that over and over again. You know, our Share-a-thon next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, is about allowing the voice of American Family Radio and programs like Bishop Jackson here on The Awakening to continue. And so I hope now that you will prayerfully consider what you can do to help us out. As we always say, we only do this twice a year, 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall. We come to you to come alongside of us to help us keep doing the mission that we have been assigned to do by the Lord. You know, we opened this program today talking about the announcement coming this afternoon from President Joe Biden on his wish list for a federal budget. And we mentioned one of the more startling things in his budget proposals, according to the Associated Press, is that the Homeland Security account will be basically frozen. This is what the AP says, reflecting opposition amongst Democratic progressives to immigration security forces. Now, isn't this amazing? Isn't this absolutely amazing? In the middle of the crisis of on our southern border, they are going to freeze the budget of Homeland Security. That's one of the things I'd like to hear from you this afternoon. Your response to that, your response to Joe Biden, your response to an education system, your response to the lies being told about the Georgia voting law that's been put in place, which we have pointed out, is still much more liberal than most states out there, even Democrat-controlled states. So give me a call right now, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Give me a call right now, and we want to talk to you. Hey, listen, we're talking about the crisis on our southern border, the figures that have been coming out this week. We're talking close to, was it, to 200,000 that have come across in the last several weeks? The encounters, they call them, the encounters at the border. And then you've seen the pictures. Well, if you watch Fox News, you've seen the pictures of these Biden detention centers for these kids, a pod area that's only supposed to hold 33 kids, has 500 kids in it. It is an utter and total disaster. Texas Senator Ted Cruz was interviewed by Newsmax after he went to the border this week. And here's what he had to say, cut number 7.
I've seen it bad before. I've never seen it remotely as bad as it is now. This was preventable. It is the direct result of three political decisions made by Joe Biden. In his first week, number one, he announced he was immediately halting construction of the wall. Number two, he reinstated the failed policy of catch and release. And number three, he ended the Remain in Mexico policy.
You know, it's absolutely insane. The materials to finish the project that President Trump put in place are already bought and paid for, and they're sitting on the ground down there rusting now because Joe Biden is allowing these huge gaps to stay open. It is just, it's not fathomable how a president of the United States could be so cavalier about the security. You know, I said to somebody the other day, if the Republicans gain control of the House, one of the first things they should do is impeach this president for dereliction of duty, for not doing what is necessary to keep this country secure. And lest you think this is just a problem for the state of Texas or New Mexico or Arizona, think again. Sheriff Thomas Hodgkin is sheriff at Bristol County, Massachusetts, representing sheriffs from across the country, because they understand, whether you live in Texas or Massachusetts, the downstream problems from this open border policy of this president are coming to your doorstep regardless of where you live in this country. It's cut number one.
Sheriffs across this country are mobilizing. We really have made this point several times, and President Biden knows it, that open borders don't work, and they're exposing our citizens to more transnational gangs, the violence in our communities, more drugs pouring into our communities, sex and human trafficking out of control, and now national security threats. And so we want the people of this nation, along with the sheriffs, to mobilize and let the president know that it's not okay to put his politics, and this is a reckless effort on his part, to put his politics before the safety and security of the people of this nation and our efforts to keep our promise and our oath to keep them safe.
You know, he used the term reckless, that sheriff, reckless, and that is a very good word to describe what's happening right now with Joe Biden's policy with regards to our southern border. And then we got the news this week that at one of these Biden detention centers in San Antonio, Texas, Governor Abbott of Texas had a news conference on this. There are growing reports of sexual assault going on inside these detention centers. Folks, this is terrible. Because for the most part, the people in these detention centers are like 18 years older and much, much younger. If this was still a Republican administration, can you imagine the rightful outcry over this? You would see it every night on NBC and CBS and ABC and CNN and MSNBC. You would see endless stories. Do you now understand why they're not allowing reporters to go down there? They don't want reporters showing all of this. Now, Fox has sent down some reporters, and these Republican delegations have gone down there. And they're thankfully showing us these pictures. These pictures aren't coming from the Biden administration. And then you have the fact that Biden himself, this crisis going on his southern border, on his watch, and he doesn't bother to go down there. And then he makes a big announcement that his vice president, Kamala Harris, she's in charge of this. Guess what she did over the last 2 weeks? She got on the government airplane and travels out to Los Angeles for Easter. And then she goes up to Chicago earlier this week and stops to have tea and crumpets or tea and chocolate cake with the mayor of Chicago. Chicago's about as far away from the border as you can get. That's their response. That's their response. Stay away. Stay away so the people can't get pictures of us down there, of what's going on. And there is absolutely no end in sight to this, folks. This is a crime. This is a crime, what's going on. Like I said, there is no plan to stop what's going on. Those pictures that you see are just going to continue. And wait till you see the downstream effects, because you've thankfully seen some of the pictures of these Biden detention centers. But what about all the people that the border control is having to release? And they're getting on buses and airplanes and now traveling across the country. What was it? They caught an MS-13 trying to get into the country the other day. Two terrorists, Islamic terrorists from Yemen. They managed to catch those, but what about the ones that are getting through? I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures, but there are areas of the wall that Joe Biden said didn't need completed. We don't have enough Border Patrol people to man all of these gaps that are in the border wall right now. They're just flowing through. This is what's happening, folks. Want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Friday edition of The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson. So much to talk about. When we come back, I want to hear from you. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here are some of our core values. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
in His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
I loved it. I loved how biblically sound it was, all the scripture to back it up.
The testimonies, very powerful.
If it's a prodigal child that has just run away, or one that's caught up in same-sex attraction, there's hope in Jesus.
In His Image is now available on DVD and can be purchased in bulk to pass out to friends and family. Order today by visiting afastore.net.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn not only shares heartbeats, but shares hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a preborn center, she was scared and not sure she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. You can be a part of rescuing lives and changing hearts for Christ. For $140, sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and pictures of babies' lives that were spared. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. Your gift is tax deductible.
It begins in knowing my kids are not my enemy. My kids are on my team.
Becky Kapitsky on Focus on the Family Minute.
If we are starting with the foundation of that truth, then we can approach them in a God-honoring way. But if we feel like our kids are the enemy, our kids are the source of our sin, then we've got it all wrong. So we've got to look at ourselves first and understand what control we have and what control we don't have, and then just recognize that tuning into Jesus is going to take us a long way in this route to taming the monster, because our enemy is on the prowl. He would want us to do anything that's unloving, because God is love. So anytime we act unloving, Satan gets another point. For me, just enough to know that he's got a hold of me in that moment, I can snap out of it and say, no way, Satan, you will not get my family today. We've got to identify who the enemy really is, and it's not our kids.
Hear more from Becky at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And welcome back. Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today. We're going to go to our phones right now. A couple of topics that are hot today. We were talking about Biden going to release his budget wishes. And amongst them, he doesn't want any extra funding, any new funding, any added funds to Homeland Security, despite the crisis on our southern border. And then we've been talking about the lies and distortions being told about the Georgia voting law. As I say, that voting law, which has just been passed, is still more liberal than most jurisdictions across the country. And what people are upset about is requiring an ID for an absentee ballot. Come on. Most of the jurisdictions, including those in those states run by Democrats, require that. And yet you have this, what I call false outrage from corporate America and Major League Baseball and others. All right, let's go to our phones. To Brett in Mississippi. Brett, welcome to the program. And I think you need to turn down your radio.
Okay, yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Okay, a couple things about the photo ID.
Mm-hmm.
Other than it being a lie, every teenager, when he turns 16 years old, would rather go get their driver's license then eat their next meal. Okay.
You're right.
Not only that, you have to have an ID to catch a fish.
That's right.
A fish.
That's right.
You got to have an ID to catch a fish anywhere, no matter what state you're in. You got to have one.
Uh-huh.
It blows me away how easily these people are manipulated and don't even think for themselves. They allow someone else to think for them. That's all I had.
No, thank Brett, you thank you very much. You're exactly right. You have to have, you know, here's part of the total insanity the airlines, like Delta Airlines, upset about this. Been flying lately, folks? Try to get through TSA, let alone on the airplane with an own ID. And as we've been talking about, the insult to Black Americans by these people who say, well, Black Americans don't know how to get to a Department of Motor Vehicles, so they don't know how to go online. That's an absolute insult, an absolute untruth. And yet Democrats and their supporters are allowed to get away with that nonsense. To Joe in Indiana. Joe, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Two comments about the border, and both kind of have a question in it. One is the business of freezing the Homeland Security. I'm assuming that means no increased spending for it. And generally speaking, when it comes to government spending, I don't mind keeping the rate of government spending the same as opposed to increasing it. On the other hand, we have Ilhan Omar apparently today criticizing President Biden because he was building the wall. Well, we're hearing that he's not building the wall, but Ilhan Omar is saying he is. Is she gaslighting? So what is the reality on these things? There's so much fake news.
Well, I tell you what, unfortunately, Joe Biden has created this. He's created this crisis on our southern border. We all know that the border control people, Homeland Security, they need help right now. They need help. Even if President Joe Biden was to decide this afternoon, hey, it is a crisis down there, I got to do something about this, we need immediately more personnel in those departments, Border Patrol and Homeland Security, to bring things back to normal. And Joe Biden is not willing to do that. Now, there was some word this week that maybe the president is coming around to the idea, well, that the federal government has already paid for some portions of the wall, material to kind of complete what President Trump had started. It's already been paid for, so why not use it? There's been reports out of Washington that he's coming around to that thinking. The question is, how quickly is he going to act on that? I mean, he may say that, but if he doesn't do it for another 2 or 3 months with tens of thousands of people coming across the border every week, that's really not fixing the problem at all. All right, let's head out to Texas and Margie. Margie, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Well, hi there, and I may change my statement a little bit, but it goes along with what you guys are talking about. If this country and all of our leaders of this country continue to let Sir Biden do what he's doing, they won't have to worry about having a job. They won't have to worry about having anything else. Hey, they won't even have schools for their kids to grow up in. But they put him in there, and they need to get him out. Thank you guys for what you do. You are greatly appreciated.
All right. Thank you, Margie, very much. Yeah, as has been said on our network so many times, elections have consequences, folks, and there's still the ongoing discussion of the last election in November and whether there was improprieties that occurred in various jurisdictions. Hopefully, that you know, America is going to wake up and demand that these restrictions be put in place, common sense restrictions, such as what Georgia is doing with its voting laws, that they are put in place. But I tell you what, if you're not familiar with the discussion going on right now about H.R. 1, federal government, the Biden administration, the Democrats in Washington want to take over basically running elections in every state across the country. That's on their agenda, folks. So that's why you have to speak up about these things. Get educated about these things, folks. If you're not aware about it, because there is an agenda out there by Biden and the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and the gang, to basically have more federal control over every aspect of your life, including more federal control over elections. Minnesota, Daniel, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, welcome. I appreciate your program, and I just want to tell you that they're pulling a coup d'etat. A coup d'etat. They're pulling it. You know, I mean, you look at the elections, the biggest fraud in history, and then on top of that, what is he doing? He's destroying America. Oh yeah, that's what you want a president to do. He's destroying it.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, you know, I think we have to go back to Barack Obama. You remember back 2008, 2008, Barack Obama said, going to change the country, going to change the world. So they were signaling a long time ago what the intentions were. And Joe Biden is just, he's taken up the Barack Obama playbook to change this country and to change the world. And that's what he's up to. Here's why you saw so much opposition to President Donald Trump is that he interfered with their plan to change this country into a socialist nation. That's why they were so upset. And the mainstream media is, hand in glove with the Democratic Party. They're no better than lapdogs for the Democratic Party. And sadly, many of our judges, certainly our education system, for the most part, is teaching Democratic Party platform and ideology. And so when you have those forces all put together, and that's why it's so important, as I said just a moment ago, to be aware of what the agenda is. Be aware of what the agenda of H.R. 1, Nancy Pelosi's H.R. 1, federal government control over all elections in every state. Need to be watching for these things. North Carolina, Joe, go ahead, please.
Yes, yeah, so I'll make this very quick. I'm not going to comment. I don't have time for that. But I just want to say this morning, I listen to Sandy Rios, as I do every morning.
Great program.
East Coast. Great program, 8 to 9. She had Trevor London on. And I'll tell you what, when I go to heaven one day, Trevor London's one of the first persons I want to meet. He is fantastic, knows communism inside and out. I would tell all your listeners, you must go to the podcast if you didn't hear that show this morning. It is something that I've known after being a 26-year Marine military officer. Amen. Everything I knew about China, he brought out and exposed what's going on within Washington, D.C. today. That's what all this is. This border crisis or whatever, it's being done deliberately. And you know who's backing it? China, China, China. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it at that. It's a must. You must listen to that this morning discussion between Sandy and Trevor London. It is right spot on. And I'll let you go at that so you can get on the
phone. All right, Joe, thank you very much. Boy, we could do a whole show on China's agenda. But what our caller just said is so true. And, you know, I've got a feeling that China welcomed the victory of Joe Biden because they knew he would in no way be close to what President Trump's policy was on China. And to stop the United States' capitulation to the Chinese. You better be careful, folks. I was reading a story earlier this week where China is warming up relations with Russia. If you're a student of Bible prophecy, that's going to send chills. Believe me. When you see these, China wants to rule the world. That's where they are. They were so upset with Trump because Trump was getting them in line and he was a force to be reckoned with. China's not worried about Biden. In fact, they're going to take advantage. They're going to take advantage of having Joe Biden in the White House. Arkansas, Joe, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just, man, there's so much to comment about. I'll just kind of ask a question and leave it at that because I agree with everything that the callers have been saying. But, you know, when we the people, you know, we see what's going on and we do have an election, you know, a lot of people feel like the election was stolen. But what do we do as the American people? Because whenever we stand up, we're, you know, considered racist or, you know, insurrectionist or whatever. I mean, yeah. Just an honest question. What do we do at this point? Because they twist their...
We got to run, Joe. Here's what you do first. You pray. You pray. And you be faithful to God's word. And then reflect that and be ready to give an answer for what you believe. And folks, that will be reflected in at how people are viewing our politics these days. Once we return to being the salt and light that we should be. Amen. Hey, Fred Jackson sitting in for Bishop Jackson today. It's going to be great to be with you. Much more ahead. Great programming here on American Family Radio. Stay tuned. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.